you a seat somewhere, or because you're gonna be standing up anyway. But come on, be the quiet. Yeah, yeah. Oh, he ready for next week. Yeah, we waiting on you, Lish. Calling you out. All right, y'all. We are here. It's good to see each other, though, and we are here, and we should be happy to see each other. But we are also here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen.
Surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may
got another junior praise leaders in the making. Sister trying to take over. All right, it's time for responsive reading.
All right, good morning. This morning we'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56, a contemporary translation. Mary got up then and there and went in excitement to the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby gave a leap in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and shouted at the top of her voice,
"Of all women, you're the blessed one. And the fruit of your womb, he's blessed too. Why should this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Look, when the sound of your greeting came into my ears, the child in my womb gave a great leap for joy, a blessing on you for believing that what the Lord said to you would come true."
Mary said, "My soul declares that the Lord is great. My spirit exalts in my Savior, my God. He saw his servant girl in her humility. From now on, I'll be blessed by all peoples to come. The powerful one, whose name is holy, has done great things for me, for me. His mercy extends from father to son, from mother to daughter, for those who fear him."
Powerful things he has done with his arm. He routed the arrogant through their own cunning. Down from their thrones he hurled the rulers. Up from the earth he raised the humble. The hungry he filled with the fat of the land, but the rich he sent off with nothing to eat. He rescued his servant, Israel, his child, because he remembered his mercy of old, just as he said to our long ago ancestors, Abraham and his descendants forever."
Together.
Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months and then returned home.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity as we come together to praise God and lift up Jesus. We pray that you bless our preacher with the word from you, Father God, and everyone here is touched in their own way. And whatever we learn, may we take out into the world, Father God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's the anthem of heaven. Holy, holy, holy. All day, every day. That's what God hears. So how much more does he enjoy it when not only heaven sings, but we his children sing down here on earth with these voices that he created? It don't matter whether it's good or bad. Lift your voice.
Lift it.
Sing the angel song. Is he holy? Is he worthy to be praised? All right.
All our praise to
exalt his name forever. Praise him. Praise him and lift him up. Praise him. Exalt his name forever.
Seated. It is time for announcements.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, so really quickly, Pastor O preaches today. Monday, December 18th, tomorrow, 6 p.m., we'll have our last biblical giving Bible class. So, again, it's never too late. So even if you're just getting in on the last chapter or if you want to go back over the classes we've had, still get the book. Chapter 4 is essentially the last chapter that we're doing. And so the questions were sent out via email, and there should be some back there on the back table if you want to take them. Every 4 o'clock. On Blog Talk Radio, I'm sorry, every 4 o'clock, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, my fault. Every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, we have our Blog Talk Radio Bible class. New books have just come out, so if you need a book, go to our church website, rfcm.org. Deaconess Rebecca is teaching the class this week, so remember to answer the questions. For discussion, so you can participate. Amen. On Fridays at 7 o'clock, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on with Bring Back the Family. I think, Kathy, she ain't got a voice or something. So make sure to pray for her, because I think she has no voice. Amen. So hopefully it'll be back by Friday. But if not, she's got other co-hosts, such as Deaconess Rebecca, who kind of pick up the slack. So Friday, 7 o'clock, Blog Talk Radio, Bring Back the Family. Mondays at 6:30, we know Minister Shelley has her Blog Talk Radio show, Street Love. I know there's like another part of the title to that, but I can't remember it. So just go to our church website, rfcm.org, to get the information to listen to Minister Shelley's Street Love ministry on Mondays at 6:30. This Thursday, December 21st at 12 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Pastor O will be presenting the annual storytelling of Christians and Christmas on Blog Talk. Got music. Pastor O is going to be telling us why it's okay to have a tree, give gifts, put up stockings, and do all that other stuff. Amen. So make sure to tune in on Thursday, 12 o'clock, Blog Talk Radio. Everything we do, essentially here at Run for Christ Ministries, even Sunday services, are recorded, archived, and free. I always say you can get your whole church life together by going to our Blog Talk Radio page on our church website. Classes, jobs, services, books, resources, and more. If I'm not mistaken, I saw an email that had a bunch of updated jobs. A back table, there's whatever Vitria said. Oh, she said it's stuff. Stuff.
Look at the back table.
Right, y'all know what's up with the back table. Like, everything on there is free. Right, take it. If you want to pay tithes and offerings, we'll have that going on. Let me skip that. We have a prayer list, and we'll have altar call today. Christmas is in essentially 8 days, right? 7-8 days. So we all know how we should be treating one another. Got a lot of lonely, sick, depressed, but most importantly, unsaved people out there. I mean, it really comes down to what we're doing needs to get people saved, okay? So you don't need to beat people over the head with a Bible. Just be human with them, okay? Just have conversations with them. As we learned this morning in Sunday school, the biggest thing about Jesus, not that he was fully God, but that he was a man. And so we're able to relate to him because of his humanity. That's why Jesus is not untouchable. He's not some far off entity, okay? He is very close to us. He's a man, he's human, just like we are. And so he understands everything that we go through, everything we've gone through, because he's done it, gone through it way worse because we've never been crucified. Amen. So just remember that when you look at yourself in the mirror, when Jesus sees you, he sees himself. And so when we look at others, we need to remember that we're looking at Jesus as well. Amen. So birthdays, Carmen celebrated her birthday on the 8th. Elder Joseph Stevens celebrated on the 9th. John celebrated on the 15th. And finally, Nita's in church. Finally, she celebrates her birthday on the 31st. Finally, you hear it, can hear it. Exactly, thank you. So last but not least, here's your devotional, and it's entitled, If You're Worn Down, Show Up. All right, and it's by Pastor Rick Warren. So it says, when you're stressed out, time alone with God is a great stabilizer in your life. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. The bigger the changes that happen in your life, the more time you need to spend with God. That time with God is called quiet time. You read the Bible, talk to God in prayer, and are quiet so you can listen to what God wants to say to you. And when you're stressed out, time alone, again, with God is the great stabilizer. It's also the greatest re-energizer when you're worn out. We've all gone through a lot of stress the last few years, and some of us don't have as much energy as we used to. Chronic stress has drained us as so much in our lives has changed. So are you feeling fatigued? That's natural. It's what chronic stress does to our bodies. No matter how much sleep we get at night, we wake up tired and start to drag a few hours into the day. If you feel like you're just trying to get by, you're not alone. If you're feeling overwhelmed, exhausted, stressed out, and we know this time of year, everyone is stressed out because we're all trying to buy gifts for people that we don't like or that don't like us to prove a point, whatever. That was just my little sidebar. And so if you feel like you're barely hanging on, then again, you need to remember Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Don't you know, haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary. God created the entire universe in 6 days, and he only rested on the 7th day to model a Sabbath for us. He never gets tired. He is never overwhelmed or worn out. He never gets stressed. He can handle anything, including all the things that we can't. If you spend more time with God, who never grows tired or weary, then you're going to have more energy. Spending time with God is not a burden or a drudgery or a drain. It's the total opposite. He gives strength to those who are weary, and he gives peace and he gives rest. So if you're stressed, don't seek a quick fix. Don't look for a shortcut. Don't fight changes that you can't possibly control. Instead, spend time with God in his word every day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, it's offering time. Get your envelopes ready, and deacons are getting together to pass the basket during this next song. We blew the dust off of one today. Everybody got your words? That is, No, we need words. You can stand on your feet. Come on, this is your exercise also, class. This we get up. It's the best exercise. Stand up, sit down. Stand up, sit down. If you can. If you can't, I understand. Didn't it back when you were little, right? Amen, amen. Go tell it. Tell it. All right. It is time for us to go to the altar in prayer. You can stand, you can sit, you can, if you want a pillow, we can get you to kneel if you want. But Pastor Sarah is going to lead us to the throne. Let's keep in mind the things that are happening around us that we maybe don't pay attention to, the war in Gaza, the war in Ukraine, keeping Oliver and Loretta's daughter Tamika in prayer, and the loss of her husband. You know, she has two small children. Mm. And then Loretta had shared that earlier this year, Oliver's son lost his wife. So it's a trying time for a lot of people. Of course, we got our illustrious Deaconess Elitris and our Vice President Avitris and Deaconess Carmen, Deacon Eric. Praying for them this month, as well as all of those who've lost loved ones, not only this year, but any year. This is a tough time. Yeah. Empty seats, yeah. Broken hearts. But Jonathan's rejoicing because John turned 18 this past week, so we can pray for him. Did he behave himself? And then we continue to keep Nico and Darius. I don't know. I watched John Oliver on HBO Max. Some of you might not, because he's crude, funny, but he tells the truth about a lot of situations. And he did a thing last week on organ donation. And it was very enlightening how dysfunctional that system is. So pray for Darius. Because that dysfunctional system is what's probably holding him up.
Amen.
But we know the one who can order all dysfunction. Amen. All right. And then, of course, Doris Gaither. Our mothers, it's good to see Mother Cheryl. It's amen. Mother Persh is here. We don't see Mother Marilyn and Mother Irma. We know that the struggles they have, but we're keeping them in prayer and make sure those of us who can go visit. And then, of course, our college students are in the house. They finished this semester. We got Jalen. We got Alex here. And then we got others that are not here, but I know Micaiah, they finished up another semester down. And, oh, Amir, I forgot. I keep forgetting because I see him so much. Everywhere. Everywhere I go, he show up. But anyway, but he is pursuing his academic studies as well. So we're going to keep them all in prayer. But at this time, as she leads us, we know we go to the throne together. Oh, that Robin. She don't talk to me. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Robin. Robin. Yes, keep her in prayer. Okay, I'm going to go back there and take care of this reverb I'm hearing.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being amazing enough to give us everything that we need when we need it. Lord, we ask that you continue to give us the things that you see fit for us to be aligned with your will. Lord, bless everyone on the list to have love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, Lord, and self-control. We ask that you come into our lives and change them in a way that we only can magnify your name in the end. We ask that you bless their bodies, Lord, bless their minds, bless their hearts, bless their souls with your will, Lord. Allow us to be motivated to meditate on your word so that we know where to go when we need salvation and healing, Lord. And we ask that as we hold each other up, Lord, that you hold us up and minister to us with your angels so that we are allowed to continue to shine our light as you see fit. Lord, illuminate our minds with your word so that everything lights up only for you. We ask that you cast out anything that has nothing to do with you, Lord, and cleanse our minds and our lives of all of the things that don't point to you. Lord, bless our finances, Lord. Bless our thinking capacity. Bless us with more wisdom as we participate in a worldly tradition, Lord. Allow us to continue to remember what the real reason is, Lord. Thank you for sending your son in a manger, Lord, as humble as possible so that we are not outdone with and not consumed with what looks like it's supposed to be what it's supposed to be, Lord. Allow it to continue to be simple for us. Continue to pour out your revelations as simple as possible, Lord. As you continue to bless us, Lord, remember those who are heartbroken. Remember those who have lost loved ones, Lord, and heal their hearts in a space. Honor their grief. Turn their weeping into beautiful gardens, Lord. Allow them to be able to move past what they're stuck in, Lord, so that they can move with you. Thank you for everything that you give us on a daily basis, Lord. We ask that you bless our country with love and peace, Lord. And we ask that you continue to just move us in a way that only points in the direction of what you want. Align our thoughts, align our words, Lord, and let everything be pleasing and nothing against what you want for us, Lord. Bless our college kids as they continue to thrive in education, Lord. And bless those that even want to be college kids to thrive in education, Lord. Bless the bodies of people who have failing organs and failing ligaments, Lord, and bless every piece of them so that they are healed in only your name. Every ailment, every piece of arthritis, Lord, every piece of depression, Lord, come in and deliver them so that they can continue to strive for you. And anything that does not belong, Lord, please take it out. Again, we ask you to bless this service and just pour out your Holy Spirit so that we feel every piece of you in here and we're able to go and have a beautiful week because you said so. Allow us to continue to believe in the words that you spoke in those 6 days of creation, Lord. Allow us to continue to know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we don't expect you to change, Lord. Align our thinking. Be kind to us, Lord, as you are always. Continue to be faithful in Jehovah's and all of those things that you have deemed yourself in generations before, Lord, and bless the generations after. Bless this church to flourish, Lord, because they strive in you. Bless this church to flourish in a way where the doors are being pushed down because of the healing that's being done inside of here, because of our obedience to you. Again, we ask that you bless everyone on the list specifically with whatever it is that they need, Lord, so they know that only you help them supernaturally. Bless our teachers, Lord, as they get rest over Christmas break, Lord, and bless our children so that they too can get some type of rest, Lord, from these systems. Allow your Holy Spirit to break down those boundaries and those systems that prevent us from shining our light for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
All right. Yeah, we're going to stand again. Told y'all I was going to get your exercise in today. But what better to stand for? Who does the victory belong to?
Jesus.
You know, they call this Advent season, and a lot of people do Advent days leading up to Christmas because it's leading up to the birth of Christ, right? But I'm reading this wonderful book that takes a different look at it. It's not looking forward to the birth. We know he already came. But we know he's coming again. And when he comes,
yes, he is.
He's already going to declare. The victory is already his. He already won. He's going to take over, though. It's going to be a lot different than it is right now. But right now, we can praise his name. Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who can stand against the King? No one can. No one will. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him.
I find my victory in you. From the house of the Lord. Amen. Psalms 118, Amen. 26. Yep, 26. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. Psalms 118, 26. Welcome to the church house. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall, who has prepared his traditional holiday season meal, complete with spiritual meat and vegetables. This message will fill you with wisdom to make financial choices that will serve you. This sermon series title is Faith, Finances, and You. And this is part one of Faith. And our text comes from three chapters. The first chapter is Numbers, chapter 18, verses 21, verses 25, and verse 28. And then the second book is Malachi, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And the third book is 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. So Numbers 18, verse 21 reads as follows. As for the tribe of Levi, your relatives, I will compensate them for their service in the tabernacle. Instead of an allotment of land, I will give them the tithes from the entire land of Israel. That was verse 21. This is verse 25. The Lord also told Moses, verse 28, you must present one-tenth of the tithe received from the Israelites as a sacred offering to the Lord. This is the Lord's sacred portion, and you must present it to Aaron the priest. All right, then, Malachi 3 goes like this, verse 10 and 11. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have any room. You won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Amen. Then 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 13 and 14 goes like this. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Let us listen with ears to hear part one of the sermon series, Faith, Finances, and You. Church, repeat after me. Pastor O, make it plain for us.
Amen. Amen. You know, I've been waiting a whole month to get up here and deal with this and get this up out of the way. Amen. How's everybody this morning? It's Christmas season. You got to be happy. You got to throw all of that stuff away because it's Christmas. Yeah, I'm on. Okay, I might need a little more volume when Crystal say she can't hear me. You know my volume needs to go up. I love how Gia come find her mama. She go all the way around. She's like, I'm not going down no rope. They ain't going to do me like that. Amen. Well, let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us yet another opportunity to come to church. We don't come to church because we want to be saved. We come to church because we are saved. We come to see our brothers and sisters in Christ so we can commiserate together and strengthen each other, encourage one another to continue in love and good deeds, as you told us in Hebrews 10:25. So, Father, now that we're here, we thank you for the praise scene, for the warm-up. We thank you for Pastor Janice Tate and the excellent teaching during the Sunday school and in the Saturday school. And now, Father, we are ready for the Word. And we pray, Father, that you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your Word today.
So they hear your Word today.
And bless my heart.
So
it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, change the way I think, according to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love Christmas. Y'all know I love Christmas. I really do. It was always big in my house. Amen. It was always toys all over the living room floor. When we wake up, it'd be sectioned off. It was nine of us. So it's, imagine that. You come downstairs and Santa Claus came through the furnace. And, amen. Amen. I couldn't figure out how he did it, Mackie, but hey, he didn't even smell like smoke. He's like a Hebrew boy. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, the little one's in the basement. Yeah, I used to wonder how you get through that. You know, I'm like, so me and my brother Christopher, so like we leeches, we down there trying to figure out, well, how you get out? You know, you come through the pipe and you're like, ooh, this is a regular chimney. Then all of a sudden, well, what is this? Amen. But anyway, Christmas is a wonderful season. And it got even better when I studied the history of Christmas and found out where all these things that we brought into the tradition, where they came from. And it's like watching, you know how you see sometimes on television where they take parts and make them all come together and it turns into something. That's Christmas. It came from all over the world. Came from Germany, came from Holland, came from modern day Turkey, it came from Scandinavia, it came from Rome, if you can believe that. But it came from all over the world. But guess what? It was America that fixed it, because Christmas was tore up from the floor. Christmas was more like Mardi Gras with no roots. Amen. That's what it was in Europe. But when it came to America, people like Charles Dickens and other writers, Robert Nass, the guy who did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus started coming into the stores, Montgomery Ward in the 1800s. Amen. Yeah, so we'll be dealing with that on Thursday. Today I got to preach to you about finances. It's time for faith, finances, and you. Amen. We won't talk to 10, 10, 30, 50 till next week. Next week, Lord willing, and we all still here. Well, thank you. We'll talk to 10, 10, 30, 50. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. But today we're going to talk about just the 10. And the 10. Just be laughing. Hey, look like a miniature Kermit, I'm telling you. Amen. So today we're going to talk about, out of the 10, 10, 30, 50, we're going to talk about that first 10. We call it faith. Amen. Rebecca, it's already time for you to read. I know you over there looking up Hebrews 11, verse 1. She always in her Bible saying, I just get a scripture to read. Pass me the hip. I feel my hip coming. I guess that's what brother asked you. That's what preachers be talking about. I feel my hip coming. Amen. She's going to go to Hebrews, because we need to figure out first what faith is. Because a lot of people say, I believe in God for this. Mm-hmm. Is that faith? I believe in God for this. Mm-hmm. Is that faith? Amen. And does God believe you believe him for this if you're not doing this or trying to get anywhere near this? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read that.
Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see.
Amen. Thank you. Faith shows the reality of things that we hope for. What that means is, if we say faith, if we say it like that, then what we're saying is, faith is what God said. Faith is what you read in the Bible. Okay? Faith is, I read where God said, do this, and I'll do that. So if I'm going to have faith, remember Abraham. How long he waited on his son Isaac? 25 years, right? He finally gets Isaac. God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. Mm-hmm. Amen? So he goes up onto the mountain that God was showing, which we know today as Mount Moriah. Mm-hmm. And there he prepares to sacrifice his son. He raises up the knife. He's on his way down. He has come to the conclusion, since God had told him that his son Isaac was going to be a blessing to the whole world through him, that Abraham has come to the conclusion that no matter what I do, God's going to raise him up. The Lord is putting me to the test. And he hadn't even told me the answer. The only answer he has is faith. Now, why do we say Abraham acted in faith? Because he did what God said. God told him one time, get up from among your kindred and acquaintance and go to a place that I show you. He didn't sit there and meditate on it, try to figure out how he could get an Uber, if he could even pay for it. Yeah, exactly. And he had to consider, I got to go tell my people that God, who they don't know, had just told me to tell y'all, we got to get up from here and go to another place. Well, where are we going, Abraham? He going to show me. Abraham does not have faith until he gets up, packs his stuff up, and leaves. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen? But he would have never gotten it if he didn't get up and go. If Abraham did not raise the knife and bring it down to slay his only son, God described him as, take your son, your only son, Isaac. He wanted him not to go try to find Ishmael, because he'd have said, well, I'll sacrifice Ishmael, okay, you can have him. But this is Isaac, this is my boy, Ishmael, you can have him. Go find Ishmael, we'll put him up on the stage with me. Isaac just, she'll go to the crib. But Ishmael, but no, God said, your son, your only son, Isaac, he was clear. Abraham was human like us, y'all. He had to think about that thing. Amen. Do you think he told his wife, Sharon? Do you think he went to Sarah and said, guess what, Sarah? The God that you don't even know ain't never heard his voice. I just told you he told me to leave there. Guess what he told me? Kill our son. See, I can see the look on Neat face like, yeah, well, he go get Ishmael. He talking about Ishmael, right? Because I know he ain't talking about the baby that came out of me. He can have Hagar's baby, but he ain't getting my baby. Amen. So I don't believe he even told Sarah. I believe Abraham was so worried about the thing that he stayed up all night, because he was up early in the morning. He got things together. Nicole, he had servants. He was rich, because God made him rich. But he didn't care nothing about money. He just cared about knowing God. So I think he was up all night waiting on this thing to happen. Amen? And so he gets up early in the morning, goes to the mountain, on his way down, and God says, now I know. Now I know. Now, God wasn't saying he's just finding out something, but he couldn't do it for Abraham. God knows everything before it happens, but he won't do it for you. But he knows you're going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Just like he knew Job wasn't going to fail on him. He knew Job was going to wonder why. That's normal. You're kind of crazy, Reese, if you ain't wondering why. You go to church every Sunday, you doing everything you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden you're on the ground, tore up from the floor up. And then your three best friends come around and show you they wasn't really your best friends. They was hating on you in secret. Amen. Amen. But Job continued in his faith. And his faith was so limited. Job did not have a 66-book Bible like we do. He did not have, he didn't even know that the devil was real. He said, the Lord gives, and who took away? But we know the whole story, right, Leeches? Who took it away? The devil did. Amen? But by faith, Job held out to the end. I remember preaching a sermon somewhere. It must have been a home going, and God gave me this subject after all this. Because after everything happened to Job, the Bible said after all this, Job didn't cuss God out, think God was crazy, okay, or say bad things about him, or let faithless words come out of his mouth. He just took it. Amen. He wondered why, but he took it. So faith then is not just knowing what God said. Gee, got people clowning in church. Amen. Faith is not just knowing what God said. Faith is doing it. God will not say, now I know, until he sees you do it. Amen. So if you want to hear God say, now I know, if you want to hear him say, well done, you've got to do something. Those people that were given those talents in Matthew chapter 25, and Jesus told them, go out and work it, because I didn't gave you the ability to work what I gave you. We know one got five, one got two, and one got one, according to their ability, right? Only one of them was faithless. The other two, if God gives you something and tells you to do something with it, you can do it. It doesn't matter what you think. He knows what you can and can't do. So he gave it to you. And he expected them to increase it. Only one person, he came back and had them old funny ideas about God. I knew that you was a hard person. You'd be reaping where you didn't plant nothing. You'd be harvesting where you didn't sow nothing. So since I knew you was a hard man, okay, I took your money and hid it in the ground. I think we talked about that somewhere. Why did he hide it in the ground?
He wanted it undocumented.
Exactly. He didn't want nobody to know where it was, and he hoped the man would die on his long journey. Then he could go back and dig that money up and be paid. But the man came back, and he wanted an account. So my man ended up with what? Nothing. To him who has, God will what? Give more. But to him who has not, even what they have, what? They're going to lose it. So God does not believe us until we do what he says. You know how we say to people, Cheryl, I hear the words coming out of your mouth. I see what your mouth's saying. I hear what your mouth's saying. But I want to see it, right? Amen. Amen. So now that we know what faith is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and we know that what we hope for comes out of God's word. You have illegitimate hope if you're hoping God do something that you haven't read in his word that he said he would do for you. What God said under the dispensation of the law, what God said under the old covenant is not for you. So you can't claim none of that. You can't expect God to do that for you. Why? We're in the dispensation of grace and we're under the new covenant. That doesn't apply to us. So we can't claim everything in the Bible. We can't name it and claim it unless God claimed it for us. We can't decree and declare nothing. Why? Because God has already decreed and declared. We just walk in that. I decree and declare I'm going to walk in what God said. But you can't decree and declare nothing new. Satan will be like, Jesus, let me have it. I'll show him how to decree and declare. Let me have it. Remember when the seven sons of Sceva, we talked about that yesterday in the Saturday church school, right? The seven sons of Sceva, Acts chapter 19, in the name of Jesus, whom Ed preached, I cast you out. And the demons was ready to get running because they knew, they thought Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I'm ready to go. But then they said in the name of Jesus that Ed preached. They're like, oh, wait a minute, well, we know Ed and we know Jesus. But who are you? And what happened? And them demons tore them up. Seven people. Imagine this. You standing outside this crib, right? Seven men in there.
Okay.
You hear a ruckus like you ain't never heard. People hitting walls. You see the wall bounce out and go back. They've got to hit the wall that hard. Then seven men come running out naked and bloody. And then one man comes standing at the door talking about, don't come back till you know Jesus. One man. That shows you what a demon inside of a human being can do. Beat all seven of them bloody and out their clothes. Can you imagine how you beat somebody out their clothes? Beat them out their clothes. I'm like, Jesus, I bet you that if they went and found Paul, can you lead us to Christ? Because the devil's just out here, they're looking for us, amen. They got it. God allowed demons to speak to humans. That was to teach us a lesson. Don't be talking about faith you ain't got. Don't be trying to walk in faith you don't have. Because guess what? See, we play church, but I keep telling y'all, the devil ain't playing. He on his 24/7, 365. And he's an eternal being. So he don't sleep. That's why the Bible says he goes about like a roving lion, looking for somebody to destroy. He's trying to catch somebody sleeping. Sleeping Christians. So faith is knowing what God said and doing it. Devil can't do nothing when you do what God said. When you're standing on God's word, Jesus told us that you cannot what? Be moved. He didn't say the storm wouldn't come. He didn't say the wind wouldn't blow. But he said, you cannot be moved. Why? Because in order for you to be moved, God would have to be moved. Amen.
Amen.
You ain't going to fight me. I got my boys with me. Amen.
Amen.
But what happened when you catch me? When we get outside of God's word, we're in trouble, y'all. How many of y'all know Pastor Marvin Wines? He driving his car, right? Just how he drive. Amen. I don't know why he be bouncing, Brother Askew, but he might be singing one of them songs you wrote. Jesus pop in the car. Jesus say, don't go to that gas station. This is what he said. He kept driving. Then he opened the door, got outside, walking, still rocking. Amen. Then them boys, then the devil say, oh no, you didn't. You gonna ignore Jesus and come over here anyway. Well, guess what? He got seven sons to skeep it. Didn't y'all see it on the news? And what did he say? He screamed out what? Lord, save me. Three-word prayer. And them boys backed off. I bet he won't drive up in no more need. I bet he won't drive up no more gas stations where it's, amen. So Satan them out there. And they're looking for faithless Christians. What is a faithless Christian? A faithless Christian is who got saved but still carnal minded. They don't stand on the word of God in their personal, in their family, in their church or civic life. And when Satan sees them, amen. They're like, oh, where your boy at? That's probably my daughter. Amen. But anyway, he's like, where your boy at? If he catch you outside Jesus, outside the word, amen, the Lord will let him whoop you up a bit, because remember what we talked about in 2 Corinthians? He said to put that boy out of the church, the one who was sleeping with his mother. Put him out the church so what? Satan can have his way with him. So sometimes the Lord will let Satan come in and have his way with you. It's only though, because what verse tells us that if God allows that to happen, he's doing it for our good? Romans what? 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He can make it work out. But Satan is out there and he ain't no joke. He's looking for somebody to steal from, kill, or destroy.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
He goes about like a roving lion looking for sleeping Christians. Amen. So we know what faith is. Faith is knowing what God said and doing it. Amen. Standing on it. Hebrew boys stood on it, became fireproof.
Yeah.
Daniel stood on it and became lionproof. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
All Satan needs us to do is step out here. Amen. And we hit. Because apart from Christ, how much can we do?
Nothing.
Nothing. Amen. And so, what you heard Rebecca read was where in Numbers 18, Malachi chapter 3, and 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In Numbers 18 is where God institutes the tithe. And God gives the reason why he instituted the tithe. Aaron and his descendants would serve as priests at the altar. His cousins, the Levites, his relatives, the Levites, they would serve at the tent of meeting. What that meant, if our church was going to move from here to somewhere else, the Levites would come in, take the church apart, pack it up like a carnival, okay? And we go to that other place, they set it up. Then the priests come out and conduct the worship service. So God said, none of them will have a job outside the church. I'm going to call it the church, but it was the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, later became the temple. He says, none of them will have a job. They're going to work for me 24/7, 365. He also said, since I'm establishing this, and the Lord talked to me about this yesterday, he said, tell the people that it's dangerous to be in a position God didn't put you in. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. It is dangerous to be in a position that God did not put you in. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Like Torin used to tell me when I was trying to convince him to go for a higher job, he was like, Pastor, I got to get in where I fit in. Amen. He heard what I was saying to him about his spider, this, that, and the other. He's like, yeah, well, I ain't waiting for that. I just need to get in where he was in New Orleans at the time. Baton Rouge, was it? Amen. I got to get in where I fit in. And that stuck with me. It was kind of funny, but because Tori talked funny, but yes. I mean, you ever talk to him, you'd be like, okay, I need an interpreter, you know? Amen. It's dangerous to put yourself in a position that God didn't put you in. How many of y'all remember when Moses and Miriam kind of got perturbed because Moses married this Cushite woman? How many of y'all know what is the race of a Cushite woman? Okay, but they weren't really mad about that. That's the rules. That's what you read if you don't look deeper. What they were mad about is the same thing that Sarah was mad about after Isaac was born. She said, Ishmael, your 13-year-old boy, he shall not inherit with my son. So it wasn't that she hated Hagar. What she didn't like was that her son was going to be an inheritor because he was what? Abraham's firstborn. He got to go. Amen. Amen. So it is the inheritance that got Miriam and Aaron so upset. Now, how many of y'all remember God's deal with Moses and Aaron? Moses kept telling God what he couldn't do.
Yeah.
Right? I can't even talk right. Okay? So the Lord said, so since you can't talk right, I'm going to let your brother Aaron, who do know how to talk right, I'll let him be your mouthpiece. Now listen to what God said. I'll speak to you, Moses. I'll be God to you. You be God to them. That's God's deal. And when you read in the book of Exodus, he doesn't change the deal. You read all the first five books of the Bible, you don't change the deal. But now, Miriam is geeking up her brother Aaron, remind him, well, God speaks to you too. Moses ain't the only one around here God speaking through. Okay? So Moses got Aaron all hyped up and geeked up. They blamed it on the Cushite woman, but it ain't about that. They don't want that woman to inherit because now, when Moses died, who get everything? The Cushite woman. Abraham did the same thing, married a woman named Keturah, and they got mad at him, talking about he done married a black woman. Now, we got to get rid of that. Got rid of her. Why? Not with Isaac. I already got rid of Ishmael. I ain't about to have no nothing. Okay, this lady over here having babies like a machine. No, you got to get rid of her and all them babies. So Abraham gave him an inheritance and sent them off. Amen. And so now here Moses and Aaron and Miriam mad about the same thing. They want to be in Moses' position. They want to take over his spot. But what did the Lord say to them? That when he called them out, said, come on now, we need to talk. Because y'all ain't talking to each other, you're just talking about each other. So come on out, we're going to talk to each other faith, but I'm going to do all the talking. God said, if there was another prophet in Israel, I would know it. In other words, Aaron, you ain't no prophet. Or Marion, you ain't either. Okay, and Aaron, every word you spoke on my behalf, who told it to you? Moses. Who talked to Moses? I speak to him face to face. In the end of the thing, what happened? You can tell who geeked it all up. Who got leprosy? Miriam. So you can tell who stirred the pot all up. It's dangerous to want to be in a position that God didn't put you in. So God tells the Levites, tells Aaron, that if the children of Israel come up in here, since I've established this rule, they die. What happened to Aaron's two sons when they went up in God's house and offered a strange fire? Both of them died. God told Aaron, don't even mourn for your boy. Don't even, you on my team. You're on my side. You're on righteousness side. Don't even mourn your boy, not in the presence of people. You show people you're on my side. God was sending a message. Don't get in a position God ain't put you in. Number one, Satan ain't going to respect you anyway because he know if God put you in that position or not. Or if you desired and just wanted to take it. Amen. I don't know how that worked in the tithing, but God worked that out. He talked to me at length about that. Don't be in a position God ain't put you in. And that ain't just in the church. That's out there in the world on your job. Don't want a position that God don't want for you. Or you'll get in that position and go through so much of the devil's hell in that position, you'll want to get out of that position. You get seven sons to ski, but find yourself running out. Amen. So the Lord institutes the tithes and lets the people know that these are the people who work for me. They're going to set up the tent of meeting wherever we go. They're going to be the ones, Aaron and his sons, who offer the offerings on the altar. So God told the Levites, all the tithes that the people bring to me, I give to you. So the Levites, since they don't work nowhere, right? God is providing for them. When the Lord called me and Sheila in 2017 from GMO Services to do this 24/7, okay, he provided for us so that we wouldn't be a burden to the church. That's why I had to work from 2003 to 2017 to put us in a position where we didn't have to hammer the church for income. Amen. We have a really nice finance committee. They'll actually ask you if you want a raise. Amen. Amen. And then I was like, sweet, we better get paid. Then I heard Jesus say, no, I got you. I'm like, see, Jesus, you don't know how to get paid. You don't never want to do nothing. You don't want to sell dope. You don't want to rob people. You'll never be able to get paid. But Jesus said, me and you went out robbing people. If me and you, Jesus, rob old folks and make a dance, we can get some cash. Well, you'd be like, no, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to just work.
Exactly.
I'm like, Jesus, why can't we just create stuff out of nothing? I could be rolling. They're like, yeah, but your name ain't Nolan, so. Anyway, amen. Go ahead, sis. Amen. Amen. So God institutes the tithes and tells the Levites, this is where you're going to get your income from. Amen. This is where you're going to get your income from. Then he tells the Levites, I want you to take 10% of what the people gave you and give it to who? To the priests. Amen. Why? So that they can live too, because they don't work nowhere either but in God's house. And so they can live, right? So that is why God instituted the tithe. That's when. So his house can run. It was real simple. It's not real high tech. You don't need to be a biblical genius to figure it out. He was simply providing for his house. And he only wanted people, if you've been in the class or you've read my book on biblical giving, God don't like people who don't want to give to him. He don't want them to give. They can be his people and he loves them 100% and gave Jesus for them. But if he see in their heart they really don't want to give him none, then don't give me none. Don't. But when you do that, whatever blessing God has pronounced on the giving, you're not getting that. Don't think God don't bless you with the blessings that he said, if you do this, I'll do that, but you ain't doing that. Listen to what God told him in Deuteronomy 28:1. If you fully obey, if you carefully follow all the rules, regulations, and bylaws that I'm giving you today, then you, amen. But you don't get to the then you until you do your part. I heard 8,800 promises in the Bible. I heard 3,300 of them apply to us. Go ahead, please. Do your little. It's okay. Amen. Like me and Jonathan was back there at McDonald's. She like a little doll. But anyway, amen. There's a part you have to play. Remember faith? God says what? In Malachi chapter 18. We know why God instituted the tithe. We know when God instituted the tithe. But when we get to Malachi 18, something crazy is going on. The people are robbing God. God, the reason ain't even safe for the Lord to walk around. People, they're sticking him up everywhere he go. Amen. God go over to these people's house, Nicole. They're sticking him up. Check it in, Jesus. What you got? Check it in. What you got on my drink? Check it in. They're robbing Jesus. So the people get that look like Alicia's got on their face right now. What you mean we robbing you? How we gonna rob God in tithes and offerings? You and your whole nation is robbing me. There are three post-exilic prophet books. I think it's Haggai, Zephaniah, is it? And Malachi. These books are the books that were written after they came out of 70 years of captivity. Now, they went into captivity because they just couldn't listen to God. And when you don't listen to God, we become what? Fodder for Satan. He can just take us at will. Now, he can't keep us because we belong to Jesus. But did the prodigal son almost eat with pigs? He can keep you up a little while. As long as you are willing to be and agree with him, he can keep you out there for a while. Amen? So in Malachi, God says, you're robbing me, what, of tithes and offerings? What is the solution? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Remember why God brought the tithes into the storehouse? So that there will be what? Meat in my house. Y'all got my priests around here looking gaunt. They look like they got distemper. Okay, you got the Levites having to leave and go find a job somewhere. Why? Because you're not bringing the tithes and the offerings so they can't serve you. The temple ain't running right. The offering's not being made right. These people had gotten so bad with the Lord that they started bringing him broke leg lambs. Dragging the lamb down the road. This drag's eye hanging out. He's dragging it. Here, I offer that to the Lord. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, five people dragging a big old dead cow. We're going to get the Lord a big old dead cow. But that's not what God asked them for. He asked them for the best of the best. He asked them for the first, not the last. A lot of folks got God last. You know, I'm going to pay my tithes after I pay my bills. Then get through with your bills and you ain't got no tithes. That means God last. God want to be first. God is first. He don't want to be, he is. Okay? God wants you to come up, not him come back. Amen? So God says, because you're robbing me, nothing good is happening for you. Nothing good is happening for you. The Lord says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Here's the remedy for the problem. Bring the tithe. Bring the 10%. He says, then I'll give you enough ideas to make money that you won't even live long enough to live them all out. Amen? That's what he means when he says he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you won't even have room to receive. I remember at one time I had Jonathan working, Deacon Charles Tate working. I had created a new business. It was, what was that? It's a flyer giveaway deal, flyer pass out deal, flyer distribution. I just created it because I had a thought, and Jesus said, you know, that could make money. But then I created it, had 24 employees ready to go on call because you had to have that many to be ready any given day, right? Because you need at least 6 people to go. So I got everything set up. It's working. It's going. And then I have a big problem. You know what my problem was here? I already had a business that worked at the same time as that other business. Jesus said, you didn't really think this through, did you? I'm like, well, if you knew, amen. But he kept, I had a business where you deliver furniture. I told y'all about that, but I had a problem. I don't like moving stuff. And then I created another business, Nicole. Brother asked you, I'll come to your house and work on your car. I'll come to your job and work on your car. Mobile mechanic. Then winter came. I don't like being cold. So I'm just trying to say the Lord, all those ideas worked and they all made money. But there was a problem. He said, I didn't like doing that stuff. It was more to it than I thought. You know what I'm saying? So they got kiboshed. But what I'm trying to tell you is God will give you ideas to make money. He will. Yes, he will. Who is it that gives us power to get wealth? It is the Lord who gives you power to do what? Get wealth. God said, don't forget me because I'm the one that gives you power to get wealth. And what are we thinking about? I'm going to have a wealth of love. I'm going to have a wealth of friends. No, I'm going to have a wealth of dollars. Amen. I get some friends. I get some love. Amen. Just give me the dollars. So, amen. God said, I'll give you ideas. Next thing he said is, I'll rebuke the devourer. You know what the devourer is when you sit down with your check and then you sit down with your bills and your check get devoured. And the devourer is still going like this, but you ain't got no more to put in the mouth. Amen. Amen. You got more money at the end of your money. Amen. The devourer is like, I'm still hungry. And you're like, well, I ain't got nothing left. You got to wait till next check. Amen. So God says, I'll rebuke the devourer. How do you rebuke the devourer? Because bills don't stop. Some of our bills are cyclical, right? They happen over and over and over. So how do you rebuke the devourer? You got to have more money than the devourer wants. God says, in the second part of this sermon, God says, having all that you need. So you should have all that you need. There's no reason you should not have all that you need. Because God said, having all that you need, you'll be able. The Lord says, I won't let your grapes fall to the ground before their time. When those folks planted grapes, they expected to receive what? A harvest? And then what was they going to do with the harvest? Sell it. But if they fall to the ground, need what? Amen? Now you ain't making no money. Amen? God says he'll prevent that from happening. Whatever plans you have to profit, God says he will prevent that plan from not happening, not coming to pass. All this because why? You bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Amen? Because you want God's house to keep running. What kind of Christian? In our first book, well, in our first chapter one of my book, it's all about God giving to us. And we quickly come to the conclusion that everything we have comes from him. What kind of person don't want to give back to somebody what belongs to them? How can you say you love God, but won't give back to God? Amen. I'm going to close with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, because a lot of Christians struggle with, I live in the age of grace, the dispensation of grace. I'm under the new covenant. Tithing was under the law. I agree with you. Because we said under Numbers 18, right? That's clearly under the law. That's the dispensation of law, right? The covenant, the old covenant. So it happened in the Old Testament. And I just told you that's not for us. So how do we as New Testament Christians supposed to accept that we supposed to give 10% and offerings? And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul gets into an argument with them about people being taken care of, preachers, apostles, church planters, right? Pastors. Peter and them was getting paid. They was traveling around, their wives, all that stuff was being financed. But Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Titus, they had to finance their own trip. So Paul, like, how is this fair? What soldier has to go out and purchase their own rifle and uniforms? Okay, what farmer plants some grapes, it's time to harvest, but he don't get none? Paul said, you do not muzzle the ox that's treading out the corn. Why? Because God said don't do that. It's kind of stupid, right? You know, killed your ox trying to get a harvest. So you got to put that little bag on them so they can eat while they're working. Don't muzzle the ox so he cannot eat. Back in the day, I lived on a horse ranch for 3 summers. Broken Wheel Ranch, he used to come home smelling like a horse. But anyway, that's not even the story. Amen. Amen. We had to feed them horses so they could work all day long. Amen. But Paul is saying, did God write that because he was overly concerned about animals? Wasn't he talking about us? So why are you muzzling me? It's his message to them. And then he says this in verses 13 and 14. He says, don't you know that those who serve at the temple, who serves at the temple? The Levites. They're the ones that do the service in the temple. Just like Deacon Tate and his daughter now, they are new janitors, right? And both Deacon and Deaconess, they serve. That's what they do. They take keeping the church clean. Amen. Amen. And he said, and those who serve at the altar, who serves at the altar? The priest, Aaron and his descendants, right? Receive from what's what? Offered on the altar. Now watch this. In the same way, God has commanded that those who preach the what? Gospel. So he's talking about New Testament preachers, New Testament pastors, New Testament apostles, or whatever you call it, bishop, whatever important name you give yourself. Amen. I don't know why we got to be so important, so special. I'm the bishop. I got bad churches under me. That is so ignorant. Because in Christian history, the whole Protestant movement was away from that whole Catholic Church hierarchical system. So a Protestant church to have a bishop in it is retarded. Amen. That's going back. So Paul said in the same way, don't you know that those who serve in the temple share in what's brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar receive from what's offered on the altar. In the same way, God has what? Suggested. God has wished. God has hoped. God has commanded that those who preach the gospel receive their living from the gospel. So that's why tithing is by faith. And that's why this conversation always starts out with faith. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Jesus said in John, I think it's chapter 16 or 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And since we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, what Paul wrote, it's by inspiration of God that he has commanded. If you love Jesus, then you'll do what he commands. Amen? God wants to bless us, and I'm going to close with letting Rebecca, she want to read, Sharon. This is her fault. She just got to read. She want to go to Malachi chapter 3 and read verses 16 to 18. I don't know why she got to just be so involved. But I have mercy on her because she always bring a Bible, so I let her read. Make her feel good, huh? Hey. And hey, really? Really? So all I gotta do is let her read the Bible? She hey, right? I'm going to get a stack of them. verses 16 to 18. Listen, because it's my close, my real close. I ain't gonna start up again after this. It's real close.
Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's army. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not.
Amen. So the question is, which one are you? Are you that one when the Lord looked at the church today? When the Lord was listening to our hearts today as I was preaching, what did he hear? Did he hear that you want to always honor him and reverence him? Or did he hear, okay, we got, I'm going to go to my seat, but amen. There's some more verses in there that talks about people who weren't happy with the message that they heard from the Lord. And those people said, well, we're going to be like the evil people who don't even obey God. Because it seems like when they obey God, don't obey God, they get away with it. And so we're going to call the arrogant blessed and do like they do. Are we those people? Or are we those people who when the Lord looks and listens, he sees in our heart and hears us that we love him? Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to you today. You always tell us the truth. We know, Heavenly Father, that you'll never get rid of us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We're in Christ Jesus. And there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that those whose hearts haven't turned toward you on the issue of tithing yet, I pray, Jesus, that you touch their heart. Mm-hmm. I pray that you sit down with them, talk with them, help them to remember the words they heard today, to read the scriptures that were given, so that they can make a choice for you. We thank you, Father, for loving us. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to help you do what you're doing in this world. You're trying to take out of it a people for yourself. And you've given us the opportunity to be involved in that through the giving of the tithe. So we thank you for involving us and giving us this opportunity. And we look forward to the treasure that we'll receive in heaven for simply doing what you said. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
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 As you're standing to your feet in your next last exercise in. Okay. It's a bag, a little sack back in the bag for that.
Okay.
Take that plug out.
Hey.
Yeah. Just some housekeeping things. Again, we're leaving it like we found it. So if you came in and it's clean, when you leave out, it needs to be what? So pick up, even if you didn't do it, because this is not just our, this is not just day church. This is our. This is what we don't want to have friends and family day, and they be four-legged friends and family, or more. So make sure you clean up, as well as don't forget the back table, all that stuff back there. Grab it, take it. If you can't use it, give it. And next Sunday, we're going to have a little special presentation. So since next Sunday is Christmas Eve, y'all make sure y'all get in here. We're going to support our children as they help lead out in worship next Sunday. Amen? All right. Get ready. Let me get ready. All right. Oh, Gina went to sleep. She wore out. Okay. We'll catch her next Sunday.
will not be silent. We will declare. We will declare your name. And we will tell the world there is no other. We are not ashamed. We will declare your name. We will declare your name. And we will tell the world there is no other. Jesus.
Let us receive our closing prayer today. Let us adore the Father, the God of love, who created us, who continually preserves and sustains us, who has loved us with an everlasting love and given us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us glory in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He became obedient to death, death on a cross. He was dead and is alive forever. He has opened the kingdom of heaven to all who trust in him. Let us rejoice in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, by whom we are born into the family of God, whose witness confirms us, whose wisdom teaches us, whose power enables us. All praise to you, Holy Trinity. For you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. All God's people say.
Amen. Amen.
I am so happy.